J6, number 9B.
All right, so we see then, and we will learn a little bit more as we go along what these levels mean, but column 1, what is the synonym as itself? That will always have a tonality of the highest level of being, the level of science itself. So if you want to just jot into column 1 there, that's the level of science itself. Always the highest form that the synonym knows about itself. Then in column 2, what is the synonym in its own realm? You will see that. You could jot in there, is that column of divine science. Here you see how the synonym expresses itself in the universe, how it expresses itself in its own universal realm. Page 71. And I'm talking to you now, if you turn over to 70, more or less have page 70 now and 71 in view. You can see on page 70, this talks about the dimensional structuring of the ideas of the seven synonyms for God. It says, on the basis of the levels of science, the ideas of the seven synonyms for God can be dimensionally ordered, showing how the synonyms themselves appear on each level. Considering the levels in the descending way, we can distinguish definite categories. Column 1, science itself. What is a synonym as itself? I.e., what does a synonym know about itself, as a synonym such, as a whole? So column 1 is always telling us the highest standpoint that mind knows about itself, and we'll come back to it. Column 2, you see there is divine science. What is a synonym in its own realm? Here the focus is on those ideas which express the universal realm of the synonym, its whole sphere of self-expression, all that the synonym includes within its own domain. So we say, what is mind in its own universal realm, in the universe? How does it appear? And this is the Christ translating mind to different levels, you see, in our life. Then, column 3, absolute Christian science. This column here. What is the synonym in relation to its creation? The focus is no longer on the universal oneness of principle and idea, but on the ideas themselves, how ideas express the infinite relationship within being. So column 3, using mind as example, is then how does mind relate to its creation? How does mind relate to the universe of ideas? So column 1 was, what was mind in its own realm? Column 1, science, was how does mind know itself and look at itself? Column 2, how does mind see itself in the universe? Column 3, how does mind see itself in relationship to the universe of ideas? And then column 4 is, now what impact does that have on the human? How does mind on the level of science itself, and then on the level of divine science, and then on the level of absolute Christian science, what impact does that translation of mind down to the point of its ideas, how does that come to the human? It has an impact on the human. And that's always the Christian science level. What impact does the divine have on our human standpoint? So columns 1, 2, and 3 are from the divine standpoint. And columns 4, 5, 6, and 7 shows its impact on the human. That's always the Christian science level. First of all, column 4, in what form does the synonym come to the human? When the divine touches the human, it translates itself in such a way that it is reflected in the human, showing the coincidence of the divine and the human. So it comes to the human. This divine comes to the human. It's nothing we do. Column 4 is not our effort. It's an outcome. It's the effect of how columns 1, 2, and 3 come to us, how mind comes to us. It has an effect. And then column 5 we'll talk about. Now, what does that synonym do in the realm of its suppositional opposite? That synonym is going to do something to the opposite claim. When the divine has an impact on the human, whatever is unlike God must simultaneously yield. The healing, redeeming process takes place as something is corrected in the human. You see, when the divine comes to the human, something has to be corrected. So column 5 will talk about what has to be corrected. Then column 6 shows after the divine comes to the human and something is corrected, that changes our attitude. So column 6, what higher attitude does a synonym bring forth in the human? When that which is unlike God in us gradually yields to the divine, something better and higher is brought out in the human, naturally. We manifest a higher humanhood through an attitude and consciousness that reflects the divine. Wonderful. Then the last column is going to show how does a synonym appear when it's not understood. Very good. We'll see how only God is going on, but the synonym takes on a different form when it's not understood. When the entire process of translation, columns 1 to 6, is resisted through a lack of understanding, the synonym appears to us in the form of its suppositional opposite. The counterfeit concept is therefore always the synonym itself, but is in its misunderstood form. It's just terrific. So you can't get outside of God. You just can't. Terrific. So that's going to be true now of all the synonyms, these dimensional structuring, and we're just going to do a simple exercise. We aren't going to do an exhaustive exercise, but I just wanted to introduce it to elaborate your ability to do practice for oneself throughout the week, and if this is the only class we take this year, then when you go home, you'll have a method of practicing with the first record. So therefore, let's just exercise and say, all right, in that first day of creation, and this is also in the compendium. I don't want you to turn to it because I think it's on page. Yes, just before I stopped, I said this was in the compendium that I'm projecting on the screen. I mean that this is in a study aid for the Science of Christian Science by Max Kapler, page 16. If you'd like to turn to that page, just turn to it now, but I want you not to look at it. We want to be looking at page 71, but I just want you to see that what I'm projecting, I have just done a blown-up from that page, so you may want to make a note in your practice work that this is coming from page 16. All right, so let's now go back to 71. Otherwise, we'd have our finger in too many places in the study aid. And I'm projecting page 16, so we needn't have to be concerned with it right at the moment. So we see then that the first day of creation, we begin to identify and we say, all right, now that mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind than the mind which is God. And as I said, the biblical writers helped us out by giving us a symbol for mind as light. We translated it into the nature of God as the intelligent, creative power. So now let's go to column 1. And we see then, when we identify with mind, we identify with mind as it knows itself, on the level of science itself. These ideas that are under column 1, on page 71, these ideas then are all ideas that we identify. They help us identify with mind itself. On the level of science itself, we'll see mind doesn't know itself as specific ideas. It just knows itself as mind. But these ideas are here that have as close as tonality as possible to what mind is on the highest level of being, how it really knows itself intrinsically. So they're a concession, but they still give us a sense of mind, the highest sense of mind we can get. So when on the level of science itself, we can identify with this column and say, well, the one mind which is God is our mind. We have no other mind than the mind which is God. Therefore, that one mind is our mind. You see where it says one mind? So we start identifying there, and we says, all right, that one mind which is God is our mind. And that one mind which is God is the all mind. It's the first. It's the basis. It's that all basic intelligence of the universe, where only mind's will is the power and force behind the universe. You see, you start making sentences out of it in a treatment out of what it's saying there. Just identify with what is being said, that, as I said, that there's just that one mind. We're making declarations in consciousness about our identity, that our identity is the one mind, which is God. Now we're telling ourselves what that one mind is. That one mind which is God is the all mind, and we stand in awe of the fact that that one mind which is God is the all mind. There can be no other mind. And that that mind is the first. It's the basis of everything. It's a primordial conception. It is that first basic intelligence that is. That one mind which is God is that intelligent force, as we will see, behind the universe, including man. And it is only that intelligent will has power behind it. There's no other intelligent will that has power in the universe, including man. Therefore, mind's will is mandatory in law, as we'll see, because it's only that intelligent will that has power. So we begin, in a way, building up a sense of practice. It's always different, whatever we say. Don't write it out. Don't make a little recipe. Every time you go over it, you'll identify it differently. Just let that be free within consciousness, how one works with that column one. Then we say, all right, therefore that one mind which is God, that all mind, that all intelligent mind which is my mind, how does it appear in the universe? Column two. It appears in the universe as the all in all. Do you see how on the level of science itself, mind is the all? But on the level of divine science, it becomes the all in all. You hear the difference? There's an all. But when you have the hyphens in all, the hyphens indicate a state of oneness between the all and the little all, between the capital all, God, and the little all idea. And that's a mistake in the study aid. Change that capital all to a small all. Write it right in your study aid. That shouldn't be there. You see, yeah, that should be a little all. Yours is right. Oh, wonderful. Because evidently you have a new study aid. The old study aids, if you have this as a capital all, that's not correct. That should be a lowercase all. Page 71. So we can see then in some of the older study aids in column 2, it has capital all hyphen in capital all. That is not correct. It should be capital all in hyphen lowercase all. Now that is because on the level of divine science, and again, I'm not teaching the levels, I just want to build up a sense of practice, as I've said before, but to help us out a little bit here, this means that on the level of divine science is always only that level that takes in the universe. And on that level, Mrs. Eddy talks about how principle and its idea in the singular meaning universe is one. So principle stands for the capital all, or God, And the next all is idea. And Mrs. Eddy never capitalizes all ideas. She only capitalizes God. One never, ever capitalizes intelligence or basis or any of those qualities of a synonym. Only God itself is capitalized. That's why in the Divine System of Reference, in her article on capitalization, she says the right use of capitalization is very important. So when you go through her textbook, these are the capitalized terms stand for the whole of God. When God expresses itself as ideas on Absolute Christian Science, it's always lowercase. So therefore, the ideational realm is always shown through a lowercase. That's also true when you're working with the word being. It's capital being for God and lower being for the universal expression of it. So therefore, the all hyphen in all means that really that indicates a state of oneness. It's not pantheistic that God is in the all, but that God operates as the all. And Virginia wanted to ask, would as be all right? Well, if you see that principle is operating as its universal idea, yes. But it really wants to indicate that principle and idea is one. That the all and the little all are one, and this one is the all. That's what it wants to bring out.
The big all and the little all is one.
That's what it wants to bring out, yes. And that is God. That's right. Wonderful. So, therefore, in practice, we see then, we're saying to ourselves that let there be mind, let there be that one mind, and let that one mind which is God be my mind. I have no other mind than that all mind, that all intelligent mind. Now that comes, that presents itself in the universe as the parent mind, the all in all, as that all knowing, you see, you get that in the universe, as that all knowing, all hearing, all informing mind to the universe. And then on the level of Absolute Christian Science, column 3, we say, well, therefore, that one mind which is God, which is my mind, that all-intelligent mind, which is the all-in-all, that all-informing mind, that comes to its creation, to its individual ideas, as the cause of everything. The origin of everything as that one creative cause, that one creative origin, that one creative impulse from which everything emanates, from which everything is given form or in shape to. That one mind which is God, which is the all in all, is the all creator of everything, of all ideas, of all specific ideas. It is not only the creator of the universe, divine science, but it's also the creator of all ideas, column 3, Absolute Christian Science. And then that has an impact on the human. That comes to the human standpoint within me as wisdom. Therefore, that all-intelligent mind, which is God, which is my mind, comes to me, comes to the human standpoint within me as wisdom. And it guides and leads me. I can trust that all-intelligent mind to guide and lead me all the time. It's always the only guidance I have is the intelligent mind. It's the only help I have. It's the only influence in my life. It always is guiding and leading me unerringly. Gee, if we could own, this is not just, these are not words. Eventually this is so reality that when we turn to guidance, do we turn to a husband or to a wife or to the family or to the children to guide and lead us in a situation, there comes a time where we can only turn to the divine mind and trust on that intelligent to come to us and trust that it will guide and lead, that it will present to us the right idea for the situation, and we trust it to lead us. And as we get more and more into the practice, we see how this becomes natural, doesn't it? We begin more and more to trust what comes to us as wisdom, as that which is right. And often, you know, because it's the Christ, it comes to us individually, adapted to our specific situation. And what is wisdom to us and we know is right for us to do, our husband or wife or children may think it's total foolishness. Because that's the point in practice, that what's presented to us, it comes specifically. That's why a practitioner can't really tell a patient what to do. A practitioner should only help open the door so the patient has the open consciousness for the idea to come to the patient, because it comes right to the patient specifically. A practitioner shouldn't say, well, you do this and then you do that. It came to me, you should do this. That isn't practice. That then becomes a funny form of animal magnetism, benevolent mesmerism. In practice, a practitioner just opens the door for the idea to come to the patient. So, whenever in practice, I just encourage the patient, or would work for the patient, that they have the mind which is God, and encourage them to listen to what comes to them. But it wouldn't be right to tell them what to do in their life. That isn't allowing that each one has the Christ. How does somebody else know what should be done in their life? It's specific. Then, as I say, it becomes manipulation between a patient and practitioner. Then all that happens is the patient relies on the practitioner to tell him what to do. Well, this isn't science. So that's if you're helping someone else. But in helping oneself, it comes right to us. And we've got to learn, all of us, including myself, through practice, how to keep listening. And more of that becomes concrete. Finally, we really begin to trust what comes to us. We just have that inner certainty, that soul, as we'll see, that it's right, that's wisdom for the situation. Even though everyone around us, even our closest friends, don't see it as wisdom, we have to have the courage to stick to it, because you know it's right. You have that inner certainty, you'll see a soul. So it eventually, sometime in our life, only mind is going to be able to guide and lead us. Only. And that then, what does it do in the suppositional opposite? Well, that idea which comes to us and guides and leads us, it comes as the healing to our situation. It comes as the medicine to our situation. It comes to regulate and control the situation. And that leaves us with a different attitude, you see. It leaves us with the attitude of being a willing disciple, to being open to that idea, not resisting it, that came to us. And that idea that comes to us causes us to seek mind, to learn and investigate. It will always come to us to learn more about mind itself. It will always come to us to help us with the logical reasoning in our life. It will always come to us as a divine thought, as true knowledge. It will always come to us to have the courage to stick to that wisdom, you see. It gives us a higher attitude in our life. To be poor in spirit, to be opened in thought, to welcome that idea that comes to us. Now, if we resist that idea that is coming to us and we turn away from it, let's say it comes to us, but let's say somebody influenced us and said, that can't be possibly the right solution to your situation. It came to me, you should do it this way, you see. Then it's going to appear as animal magnetism, outside influence, you see. That idea will take on, we will call it evil. It comes to us, and if we will think it isn't right, it's not right for my situation, we will see it as something wrong, a false influence, rather than what should be right. We will try to resist it. And that just goes on in the realm of ignorance. So that idea can look like animal magnetism if we don't let it in. So animal magnetism is just what God looks like as a false influence in our life if we don't recognize that it's a true idea trying to break in, and we call it a false influence. Because it will want us to do something else, you see. Often an idea will come to a situation and say, we'll break up some, let's say we wanted to buy a certain house. And maybe the idea came at first to us this is the right house. But through outside influence, we began to say that it's the wrong house. We took the opposite stand. But it still kept being that the house we think we should have doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. We can't get it. We can't get it, you see. But this is the only one that is available. We think we're under animal magnetism, that something is working against us. It's a false influence. We turn that which is right into that which is wrong. And we consider it wrong, and we see everything wrong about it. I don't know how often it happens in one life when that which is right, we absolutely see it as wrong to begin with. Friends, let's say. A person will come along, and at first you think, now this person's really, don't want anything to do with them. They just, in my life, they have all these qualities, et cetera, et cetera. We approach it negatively. And yet that was the Christ coming to us. They finally end up to be our best friends. Often when something comes as negative and we think it's a false influence, it could be really the right idea, but we haven't been open and willing and listening, cultured spiritually enough to see it as a right idea, a lesson. Well, you will find that out in our life, that which is animal magnetism, we have to see that the army, that nothing is animal magnetism. We can't give anything back to any other power besides God. Look for the blessing behind it. Always look for the blessing.
Can you see that negative bad?
It's, yeah, that negative is always good misunderstood. Always good misunderstood. There's something good happening. The negative will come as trying to see the negative is comes forth as good because, see, the idea is coming to the situation. It's presenting what it is. It's analyzing what it's not. It's uncovering what it's not in order to present what it is. And therefore, that analyzing and uncovering process. That uncovering process is good. It's the idea uncovering a false claim against itself, and it changes that false claim back into what it is. That's that translation and retranslation, which we'll go over again many times when we take the translation and retranslation. That happens especially in the sixth chapter, and where I show there the law of translation and retranslation, how when an idea comes to us, it is translated back out of its false sense back into the divine. So mortal mind, see, that when the right idea comes to us and it looks like mortal mind, it is translated out of mortal mind, out of resistance, back into being willing, back into trusting the wisdom, because it comes from the creative impulse of the all mind. It takes the situation out of evil, takes it out of the power of giving it evil, and it takes it back to God. So we never leave anything in hell, so to speak, because we're giving hell power. You have to see the blessing behind that which we call evil. See, and this is our big teachings of the Christ. And they aren't always easy, because the Christ leaves nothing in hell, because that gives hell power. The Christ is always a retranslation out of the evil sense back into the divine. And it gives no other power except that which is God. That which the right idea has analyzed and uncovered as a false belief, that false belief just causes us to be willing to look to what is true. See? It's all positive. It's just what the real doesn't look like when it's misunderstood. And so we say, I welcome the idea that corrects it, and then it shoves you just right back to the right idea. It acts as a law of correction. But these are things we need to pray about, and I can only present it here because we want to go on, but that's the Christ translation and retranslation. And as I say, that's the sixth chapter. That's what it shows in its law of translation and retranslation. And we exercise with that first translation and the second translation over and over again within consciousness till we finally only have God going on. Otherwise, if Mrs. Eddy said God is the all, which is the all in all, there can't be anything else going on besides God. And this last column just wants to say, this is what God or the idea of mind looks like when it's not understood. But when we're willing to understand the idea behind the situation, that disappears, the false way it looks like.